word. And the passage is in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And from verse number 38. Verse number 38. All right, let's all stand, please. Let's all stand. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So this is still in the continuation of our series about the commendation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how the Lord commended the centurion and the Canaanite woman for their great faith? This time is another way that the Lord has commended this woman, and by the name of Mary. From verse number 38, let us read this responsibly. I'll read verse number 38, you respond verse number 39. The Bible says, in verse number 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me."
Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha,
together, verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Our Father in heaven, bless, Lord, our passage of Scripture tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we can hear your words once again. Thank you for your people that have given importance to your word, O God, that despite of our busy schedule, despite of the difficulty, Lord, in our life here in the city, the traffic and many other things that could be reasons for us not to come, but Lord, by your grace, we are able to come. I pray, Lord, that you will bless all of us tonight with your word, give us victory, and bless your servants, Lord, and all the churches that now are listening to your word, the people now that are attending to the services. I pray that you will also bless them, bless the speakers, the pastors, and tonight also in our church, bless all these people, O God, and even those who are not able to come tonight. I pray, Lord, that your hands of protection will always be upon them. Do not, Lord, leave them, and but rather, Lord, protect them wherever they are. Keep them away from harm, but Lord, impress upon their heart the importance of our gathering of ourselves together, as you have commanded us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. And Lord, tonight, give us victory once again, and bless your people through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. This is, from this passage, we can learn that there is one thing that is absolutely necessary if we are to live a healthy, a happy, and a meaningful life in this world. All of us are Christians. We understand that we need to have this balanced life here on earth. We have obligations with our family. We have obligations in our society. And we have also obligations to our God. And how are we going to go about these things? It depends on how are we going to balance our time and attend all these things that can glorify God and also gain favor from our fellow men. So again, Mary seemingly, you know, I do not know whether she was conscious or aware that her sister was like trying to get her attention, or maybe she saw her sister wanting her to help in the kitchen, But she refused to look at her sister so that she could continue sitting there. And to the point that Martha, you know, she could not bear it anymore. She had to interrupt. She had to stop the Lord from what the Lord was talking, what topic he was telling the audience there. Perhaps Mary was there and some disciples. And the Lord Jesus had to be stopped so that, you know, the problem could be attended, because there was a great problem. Martha was serving alone. But we are going to see this story here from verse number 38 to verse number 42, where we have the record of Mary and Martha, the sisters, entertaining the Lord Jesus Christ in their home in one of the Lord's visits, and very important visits, I should say, and very privilege for the sisters to be visited by the Lord Jesus. And who would not be privileged if the Lord would visit our home? I would be, very glad if the Lord will visit. And we know that the Lord sometimes will come to our house in a form of a beggar. And sometimes the Lord will come to our house in the form of, you know, a stranger. And again, we are told that sometimes you are not aware that while you are attending to these people, you have attended to an angel unaware. And again, because we are told by the Lord to just do good things to everyone, because that's what God wants us to do, and we do that. And again, this time of the situation here, the scenario here, the Lord Jesus Christ physically was present and visited these sisters. I think we can agree that Martha was an excellent host or hostess. She was an excellent cook, and she can really prepare well, and perhaps one of the best hostess in those times. She can prepare sumptuous food, nice food, meal for the Lord and his disciples at their visit. But on the other hand, we have this sister called Mary. And what she does really, she's not really keen of the things in the kitchen. But I don't think that is the case with this. There must be some reason why Mary chose this, you know, this way, not helping, but rather listening to the Lord. But Mary there sat at his feet and listened to all the wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken. Those things that she could never heard from any other places. And that's only coming from the Lord Jesus that she could not afford to miss. So that is maybe what's in her mind. And that is why we have this story here. We have this situation here. Now, I would also believe that the visit of the Lord to Martha and Mary would have been a great privilege to the sisters. And in fact, today, all of mankind, all of us who love the Lord, all of the Christians in the world would say Martha and Mary are one of the most privileged ladies in this earth, because they have the attention of the Lord Jesus upon them. And again, that must have been a great privilege. And there's no doubt about it, and we cannot really dispute that. But again, Mary here, on her part, she must have known something else, more than what Martha had learned or known about the Lord Jesus. Mary must have discovered, maybe previously or recently, some great and wonderful, precious truth in the words of the Lord Jesus that when the Lord Jesus Christ opened his mouth to teach these people, Mary, you know, determined to listen to every word that Jesus Christ would have to say. And therefore, she was determined to sit there and wanting to discover more from the Lord Jesus Christ. And she may have, you know, heard from the Lord before that really, you know, interested her. And she knows that her soul needs those words. And this time is a great opportunity that the Lord himself visited them, and she would not miss the word because she had discovered that the word of Jesus Christ were so precious to her. I read a piece entitled The Rich Word. The Rich Word. So this is a story that shows that the more we study the Word of God, the more God reveals his riches to us. The more you indulge yourself into learning God's Word, then the more the Lord will open your mind into greater light and understanding of the Lord Jesus. Now, in that story, piece, there is that story of an iron egg in Berlin Museum. This is in Berlin, Germany. I do not know if you have heard of this story. Many years ago, a prince was engaged to a lovely princess. He promised to send her the magnificent gift as a testimonial of his affection. And in due time, the messenger arrived, bringing the promised gift, an iron egg. The princess, so angry to think that the prince should send her so valueless a present, and threw it upon the floor. It was then that the iron egg opened, disclosing a silver lining. Surprised, she took the egg in hand, and upon examining it closely and looking at it very delicately, she discovered a secret spring which, when touched, opened the lining. She then found another spring and touched it. Then it reveals the most beautiful diamond ring. And again, that is exactly how the Lord our God, you know, gave us the gift of the word. That the more you go and delve yourself into it, the more precious words that will come to you, and the more you will be blessed by his word. That is what the situation perhaps with Mary, that Mary in that time, she already have experienced the precious words of the Lord Jesus, and she wants to, you know, stay there even more and, you know, listen to him even more. And that visit of the Lord Jesus to Martha and Mary, as we know, it must have been a great privilege to the sisters, and in the minds of Martha, serving the Lord with great meal was the least that the sisters could do, and I would agree with that. Serving the Lord with whatever you can serve the Lord, I believe, is acceptable to God. But Mary must also have contemplated upon that, because, you know, it's very rare that the Lord Jesus would have visited them, that on that occasion that they both of them are there. So therefore, Mary must have thought about giving the Lord Jesus with that beautiful meal as perhaps a gesture of their hospitality. But with the situation of Mary, as much as she did not want to upset her sister, the word of God, the value of God's word coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ was just too much for her to miss. And she could not afford to miss the word of God. So Martha right there felt that Mary was unreasonable in leaving her alone to serve the meal. And even now, questioned the Lord. She questioned the Lord Jesus by allowing Mary to sit there at his feet while she was serving in the kitchen alone. And this is the problem there of Martha. And because of there is now irritation, there is now like a, you know, a wrong spirit in Martha. The Lord then spoke to Martha in a rather sharp, but perhaps careful rebuke in verse number 41, in Luke 10, 41. When the Lord said this to Martha, Martha, Martha. Now, every time the Lord repeats the name, that must be sober. That must be very serious. Now, he repeats the name of Martha twice. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, the Lord spoke and said that Mary had chosen that good part. That was a commendation. Commendation towards Mary. But again, that must be something that would tell Martha that, Martha, there is something greater, something of greater importance in this life. And the Lord just showed it to Martha. And that is exactly what we do in our Christian life. We have the worship that we do to the Lord, regular worship service, and we serve the Lord from our heart. And part of our service to the Lord in the church setting, in our church, Mount Zion Bible Baptist Church, we know what to do. You know, in the morning we arrive here, Sunday morning, we get straight, you know, all these things, arranges the chairs, you know, arrange it properly, you know, in right spaces and distance, and the sound system there, and yeah, you know, and the food there, you know, prepared for lunch. We feed our people. It's part of our service. We set up the chairs. It's part of our service. Welcoming our visitors and members of the church is part of our service. Looking after our children is part of our service. And we have also, we look after our, you know, all this equipment that we have, the sound system, and the singing in the choir is part of our service. These are things that are part of our service. And these parts are not bad parts. But there is this one thing that God called good part. Setting up the chairs, setting up the sound system, preparing the food, preparing for the choir, they are part of the service, but the good part there must not be taken away.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you are doing that part. Because that is exactly what happened to Martha. What she was doing is part of serving the Lord. But, you know, she eliminated herself from listening to the most important part, which is the word of God. So doing service is not a bad part, but to be saturated, soaking, and knowing God is the good part.
Yeah,
and that good part cannot be taken away from you. Doing service and knowing God You see, and working in the committee, perhaps in the camp, and listening to God's word. Winning the games in the competition and rejoicing at God's word. Not one way or the other. It should be both ways. Serving God and take that good part, which is knowing God, that cannot be taken away from you, is the most important thing. I remember the messages there, I was like focusing on, you know, listening to the preaching. I do not really even look back, or I do not know what the people are doing behind me. Sometimes I can hear some commotion and noises, but I don't want to be bothered those little commotion. But I hope that, you know, when the preaching of God's word is going on, it is really beautiful if all of us will not be talking and just focus on what the preaching is all about, and learning from there, because that is one important part. That is the good part. And again, we can talk, you know, after the service, we can fellowship, but not during the service. So there, you see, from the camp, we have learned so many things. I do not know about you, but I will tell you, that was a really beautiful messages there. And we learn and absorb in the book of Songs of Solomon. We do not hear that kind of preaching often. And you see how the pastor, you know, gave us the description of the book. It's all about the king and his bride. It's all about, you know, their mutual admiration, their intense love, their mutual desirability, the incomparable value that they have to each other. And again, the value that they have is far exceeding earthly treasures. That's what I found in the preaching. That, again, I read that whole of that book, but I did not see that how the pastor arranged that, Pastor Jeff. But again, if you miss those messages, and I do not know who among us, you know, did not listen to those. And I think there were so many people who did not listen, and we're not able to listen. Maybe because of their role, or because of something, or maybe some did not pay attention really because they seem like they don't need to listen to the messages. But I think that was really something that all of us should, you know, focus on. And again, if you miss those messages, it's really hard for you to hear those messages again. It is very hard. Although we have that in our was that sermon audio? You can listen to that again. But I tell you, that moment that you are focusing there, that there is this solemnity and the seriousness of the environment that will aid your heart to not to be hardened in the word of God, that will aid your spirit, you know, to align with the spirit of God in that moment, yeah. Rather than if you go home and then listen to that while you're cooking and you listen to the preaching, is different than listening there in the camp.
Yeah.
That special moment will never come again.
Yeah.
Only by the grace of God, maybe that the same message will work in your life, but that moment there is the appointed moment for that message by the Lord. And if you miss that, you might miss that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know when shall we hear that message again. I do not know that if ever, you know, we can hear this sermon in the sermon audio, because there are now hundreds of them. There are now hundreds of messages there. But the number one requirement for every Christian is, I'm talking about the number one requirement, it's not service, but sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. As he mentioned here, as he said this to Martha in verse number 39. Verse number 39 is Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord commended that action of Mary. Now, how can we hear the word? How can we hear God speak, you know, speaks to us? To hear the word, my friend, you must be there, present, and actually hearing it when it is spoken. You must be there so that, you know, you can respond accordingly, and your heart would respond accordingly. Because when you miss it, you might not hear it again. In Luke, again, chapter 10, verse number 41 and 42, the Bible says here that Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Now, think what this one thing implies. What is this one thing? Really, what the Lord wants us to learn. What is that one thing? What is the meaning of that one thing? That sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, what is the meaning of that? My friend, I will tell you, there are a few things here. Number one, it implies reception. In verse number 38, you will see that Martha received the Lord Jesus into her house. And Mary also received the Lord in verse number 39. So 38, you can see that the Lord visited and both of the ladies received the Lord. But before Mary could sit at the Savior's feet, perhaps she must have welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ first. And that will just tell us that before we can really, you know, we can really become a bona fide member of the body of Christ, before we can come and listen to the Lord, we must have received the Lord Jesus Christ first into our heart. And that is exactly what happened to us at salvation. Before we become like a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have received the Lord Jesus Christ first into our life. And the same thing here with what happened to Mary. Before Mary, you know, sat at Jesus' feet, Mary had received Jesus first, you know, unto her home. And then Mary sat and listened to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will also like remind us tonight that you may be here tonight and thinking that you are a Christian, but you are not. This is a good, you know, reminder for us and to think whether we are in the faith. Think about your soul. Think about whether or not you have Jesus Christ in your life. Because if you believe that you have not really accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior in your life, it is not too late. Amen. You can come and receive Him tonight. Because it is important, before you can sit at Jesus' feet, you must have received Him first into your life. Yeah. Mary did that. Before she sat, she welcomed the Lord Jesus. And again, we have verses in the Bible that tells us in John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just simply by faith, ask the Lord to come into your life and say to the Lord, Lord, I am a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Lord, by faith, I open my heart. I believe that You died on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay the penalty of my sins. Lord, by faith, I receive You into my life. Save me of my sins. And then once you do that sincerely, then the Lord, he said that he will come into you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So the Lord has that promise. So therefore, that one thing that is so important starts with reception. You have to receive Jesus Christ. Another thing that you can find in this one thing, what does this one thing really mean? This one thing implies devotion. It implies devotion. The fact that Mary there was sitting at the Savior's feet indicates that she loved the Lord. I have no doubt that she loved the Lord very much. And the reason why she loved the Lord, because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. She understands that God loved her so much that she knows that time will come that that Lord that she worshiped at that very moment will one day give her his life at the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty of her sins. So Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much. And again, in order that Mary would keep the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, she was there listening to the words of the Lord Jesus. She was there learning the words of the Lord Jesus. And you see in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, this is exactly what every disciple of the Lord should do. This is supposed to be exactly what every Christian should do. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is exactly what God wants them to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. So with that, you know, you will see that one thing involves devotion. It involves reception. It also involves submission. You have to be submissive unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Mary, if you notice her position, Mary did not stand. Mary sat down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That indicates that she was submissive to the Lord. She was she recognized the Lord as her master. She recognized the Lord that whatever the Lord would say, she would believe it. And in other words, she subjected herself to the authority, to the truth, and to the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And again, that position that she did when she sat at Jesus' feet is a posture of humility. Sometimes we come to the church and, you know, there's this pastor or maybe preacher or a visiting preacher come around and preach, and you don't like the preaching, and you know, you feel like, oh, I'm a better preacher than him. I can preach better than him. So that kind of attitude, you will not submit, you will not, you know, you will not follow, and you do not listen. You will just maybe think of things because you have no respect to that person that's preaching. And that is not the case here with Mary. Mary was in full subjection to the authority and truth and teaching of the Lord Jesus. She sat in that place of humility. And she, you know, bear the yoke to learn the things that the Lord Jesus Christ taught her. And that's exactly what, you know, the Lord Jesus wants all of us to do in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So the Lord Jesus, you know, spoke the words, but Mary was there in you know, utter submission. Listening very carefully what Jesus Christ, you know, said. What words that came out from his mouth. So that's the meaning of one thing. One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part shall not be taken away from her. Another thing that we can find tonight is that why is this one thing so absolutely necessary? What makes this one thing? Why Jesus Christ is so, you know, fussy about this one thing? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and cumbered about many things, but one thing is needful. Not two things, not many things. There's only one thing. One thing. Why is this one thing so absolutely necessary? First, it is absolutely necessary if we are to experience a meaningful Christian life. I know that all of us want to experience a meaningful Christian life. And that meaningful Christian life can only happen in two things. It happens in receiving and serving the Lord. And definitely, it is not just one or the other.
Yeah.
If you only do the listening and not the serving, your Christian life might have a great lack of the sincerity of your love. Because you just want to come to church and listen and then go home and not doing anything about what you heard.
Yeah.
There is a very, very great lacking of the sincerity why you came to listen to the Word of God. And if you only do serving and not listening, your Christian life is nothing but full of resentment and frustration.
Yeah.
Because you are doing the service and other people don't. And sure enough, your heart will harbor a judgmental spirit. And you will easily find fault on other Christians around, especially when they are not working. Just like Martha looking at Mary. Mary is so lazy. And she kept that maybe in her heart for a while. But later on, that root of bitterness there will grow. And that root will grow because there is life on that root of bitterness until it saturates the heart, until it's really, really, you know, about to explode and comes out. And that is all the bitterness that will come from the heart of the person. And that is exactly what happened to Martha. Martha could not bear it. And she could not bear it anymore. To the point that she had to interrupt the Lord Jesus in his teaching because her heart could not bear it anymore. Why? Because Martha was doing all the work but not receiving the word. She had no opportunity to receive the word. And that is exactly what would happen to a Christian life that will do the serving and not listening. That Christian life will be full of resentment and frustration. And Martha displayed those things that are not supposed to be in her heart in the first place. That is why we need to experience this meaningful Christian life. And how to do that and how to have that? Do both listening and serving. Do both. Because Christian life is not just listening.
Yep.
Christian life also is not just serving.
Yep.
Spend time listening to him and spend time serving him. And when you do, you will understand the importance of both. And you will see, and you know, you will just do what you can, and then, you know, pray to the Lord that everything will go well. That is why we need to have a meaningful Christian life. Another thing, why this One thing is absolutely necessary. It's not just because we need to have a meaningful Christian life, but also it is necessary for our growth in grace. We need to grow in grace. Many Christians remain in a state of protracted infancy. What is that, Pastor? You know, that kind is that there are people, Christian fellows, our brothers and sisters probably, they are born into the family of God, but instead of growing, instead of progressing and growing in their Christian life, they stayed as infants for an extended period of time. They don't want to, they want people to serve them. They want people to, you know, to feed them milk. They want people to, you know, they don't want to lead. They want to be served. Hebrews 5:12, notice this. Hebrews 5:12, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You see, the Apostle Paul spoke about these Christians that have been Christians for a long time. And these people are supposed to be growing in their Christian life and looking after the new Christians and have patience with them and go to their level and lift them up and help them to grow. But these Christians are needing someone to help them grow. They have not learned. Yeah. They want to stay there in their infanthood for longer time. That is why it is called protracted infancy. Because they stay there longer than they should. Now, there you will find that the attitudes of infant Christians in the church. Yeah. I do not know if you have experience really looking at, you know, older men and older women, and then adult, and you know, all these adult, young adults and all that, and yet their character in the church are like infants. When you see a Christian that is given to probably, you know, this kind of attitude, taking sides to a certain group within the church, that person is carnal. Especially when, you know, eventually when the church will grow bigger, then there is this group of these people, and then there's group of these people, and then one carnal Christian will say, "Oh, I'm with brother so and so. Oh, I'm with sister so and so. Whose side are you on?" I will tell you that is a recipe to disaster. Yep. In the church. Yep. If people will side with which groups within the church, they will create a faction, and this group will never, you know, include this other people because they are strong in their group. No one can, you know, this is an elite group, you know. No one can join us, and maybe to the point that they will have a blood compact. some children, they have that, but they are children. That is why we should not have that kind of attitude. We should be a grown-up people. We should be the one to lead. We should be the one to, to extend patience with people. Because we see this all over and over again in the church. That these people are supposed to be matured, they are still carnal. And if the person is carnal, we need to teach him again. We need to make him, you know, grow. And I think he needs to learn the doctrine of salvation again. We're not supposed to be talking about the doctrine of salvation, because that is the very first thing that we learned when we got saved. We are supposed to be, you know, looking, you know, ahead of us, how, you know, to win people and how to win these difficult people to the Lord, rather than always being stuck with the doctrine of salvation. We need strong meat,
yep.
Not with milk.
Yep.
When you see someone like that, that person needs, you know, milk and not with strong meat, because he is carnal. He is a spiritual infant. Protracted infancy. The reason being is not because they have not received the Lord into their life. They have. They have received the Lord. And they have loved the Lord. But the problem is because they neglect the fellowship with the Lord. That is where they have not grown. So that is why we need to understand the blessing of God's word and the fellowship with him. And this will be the cause that many people in the church will not grow in their spiritual maturity. We need each one of us to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and receive his word. And that will bring us the knowledge to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, and experience him in our life. That is what is said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith." That is the main goal. All of us are not perfect. We have imperfection. We have all this, you know, weakness here and there. But coming to church, we can hone. We can really, correct the wrong in our lives, little by little, as we grow older, as we grow stronger in the Lord, then to the point where when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, then we can have that perfection. And the Lord will be honored and glorified in your life. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." You see, we need to grow. It is imperative that we need to grow. And in order for us to grow, we need that one thing. One thing is needful. In our growth, we need that one thing. And in our growth also, in that one thing, it is necessary, because that is for our clear guidance. The Lord will give us clear guidance, because that is God's desire in us. He longs to guide us. And in all the details of our daily lives, in every facet of your life, whether it be family and relationship, whether it be our, you know, livelihood, whether it be our walk with in the society, whether it's our attitude at work, whether it's our everything, every facet in our life, the Lord Jesus wants to guide us. And again, you need him every single day. You need that still small voice. Do not be distracted with the loud noise of the world. Do not be distracted with the things of the world, like your Facebook and your YouTube and your all those things that will distract you and take your attention away from God. Yeah. And in your solemn time of devotion, then you can listen to God's still small voice. And because, again, if we fail to live close to the Lord Jesus, there will be problems in our Christian walk. We walk in this life without heavenly guidance. And I do not know how many members of our church or how many of us walking our life day by day without God's guidance. Yeah. We come to church Sunday, that's fine. We come to church Wednesday, that's fine. But what about, in those moments that you have to make decisions in your life and you have no God's guidance? That is going to be a problem, because that will stick on you. That will, you will pay the price of a wrong decision. But you need God's guidance. That is why it is important to have that still, small voice. Away from the crowd, away from the distractions from the world, away from all these things. Some of them are not bad. Maybe you watch the news, it's not really bad, or it's depressing. But there are times that you need to allocate where you will be able to meditate upon God's word. And in reading God's word, you will see some phrase, some word that will stick out, and God will call your attention, and your mind will be focused on that thing, and meditate upon that thing. And that is where you can hear God's still small voice. You need, all of us need those, time in our life that we need to be solitary or away from other people sometimes. And when we do that, there is this guidance of the Lord will give us a clear understanding and will give us advantage in making the right decision. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, we have this verse telling us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that is what happened when you are so busy every single day. You are so busy and there is no guidance from the Holy Spirit, because you are, crowded with so much things to do, and this and that and this and that, and so many things that there is no end. There is no end in sight. Yeah. When can you finish this? I have a lot of things to do. I have a lot of priorities. I'll tell you, all those things that you think priorities, yeah, if death comes tonight, those priorities are not really priority. The problem is, we have not time. We do not have the time to listen to the still small voice.
Yeah.
In Proverbs chapter 3, also verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. When can you ask God that would give us, all this wisdom liberally? When? That is when you have a devotion. That is when you have that still small voice speaking to you. And if it does not happen because you are crowded with so many noises, then you miss that. You will miss that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. What a promise is that? That when you come to the Lord and seek for wisdom and ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you. And he said, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That means he will give you what you need, the wisdom that you need, he will give it to you.
Amen.
And God promised that, and he will give it to you without failing. Surely, it is only when we learn to spend time alone with God,
yeah,
that we shall get, yeah, to know his will.
Yeah.
In Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, Romans 12:2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, It is very important. The thing is, every single day we are, without us knowing it, we are conforming the world. We are conforming. If you are not going to battle it out, if you are not going to, you know, to resist the world, you are carried in the tide.
Yeah.
You are like, you know, our life is like we have a boat and we have a paddle, and we are placed in the stream, in the river. If you are there and you don't do anything, you are drifted. You are drifted, and you will be, you know, taken into the falls. And you fall there. But the Lord gave you the paddle. You have to resist it. Do not just, you know, stand still or do nothing. You have to row and row, keep on rowing and rowing against the current. If you stop rowing, you will be drifted.
Yeah.
So row, keep on rowing, keep on rowing against that current. And then you can reach. There is no place for us to stand still in our battle against the enemy. Battle against self and battle against the world. That is why it is absolutely necessary for us first to overcome ourselves. Because one of the greatest problems in this Christian life is ourselves.
Yeah.
The one that you face in the mirror.
Yeah.
The one that, you know, you look at the mirror and then you close that person there in the mirror very nicely. The one that you put makeup on. Do you put makeup, Brother Bong? I don't put makeup. You see, that one that you face the mirror is one of your greatest enemy in this life. Because what that one wants in his life is, that one wants the nice, beautiful, sumptuous restaurant every day. That one wants to go to a beautiful restaurant every day. That one wants to sleep in a beautiful 5-star hotel. That person that you face in the mirror, he wants all the, you know, cuddle and massage and all those things. He wants money all the time because he needs money. He does not, when it's time to pray, I will tell you, that person that you face in the mirror will sleep. Will fall asleep when it's time to read the Bible. Ourself is our number one enemy. Martha was irritated. Martha was distracted. And I will tell you what she did. She complained. Look at that in Luke chapter 10, verse number 40. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" Oh, now she is even charging the Lord for being careless. The Lord is not in his right mind. It's exactly, you know, what she meant there. The Lord was not thinking properly here. "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." You know the indication when, you know, that when you have problems spiritually, when you become irritated and distracted, and you become a complainer, and sometimes it really comes out, you know, of us. So all of us have that moment. Sometimes we say hurtful things and rash words, and it just happened because we are human beings. And if there are things that we don't like, we say it. And that is normal to us. But why we do these things? Why, for the same reason that Martha failed, she allowed self to come on the throne of her heart. She allowed self. it was because of her that Mary was now at fault. Because she has a need now, and Mary is now at fault, and the Lord is now at fault. Why? Because she looks at herself. When you begin to look at your need, when you begin to look at what you like and it's not coming, and when you have projections in the future, it's not going to happen. When you have something that you expect and it's not going to happen, that is everyone's fault. You will blame it to everyone. And some people, they will blame it on God. And this is a spirit that needs to be avoided. And that is what happened to a person that does not come to submit herself or himself to to the Lord Jesus Christ and to sit there at his feet. You see, ourself is our greatest enemy. And we have to acknowledge that, because there are really times that we need to do something for the Lord, and ourself is the one that will say no.
Yeah.
We want to do something for the Lord, and we cannot accomplish it because our flesh is so strong, stronger than our spirit.
Yeah.
And we allowed it. The problem is we allowed it. You see, there is that one sure way of learning God's method of overcoming the self-life, and that is by regularly getting low at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Come to the Lord, have devotion, talk to God, come to Him, and listen to what God would have to say. And then you will begin to learn more and more things. More and more things that would aid us in our walk and help us in our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And in Matthew again, chapter 11, verse number 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You see, you have to overcome self. There's no one that can help you there but the Lord and yourself. You have to ask God to enable you to fight back and win against that battle of self. And lastly, why it is absolutely necessary. Why is that one thing absolutely necessary? It is because in order for us to gain His commendation, the commendation of the Lord is really as important as, you know, the entire service that we have for Him. Because after we finish our life and there's no commendation for the Lord, I will tell you, it's just in vain. Everything that we have done in this world is just in vain.
Yeah.
If there is no commendation from the Lord. I don't know if you have noticed the message of Pastor Jeff, the importance there of rewards. What has this rewards, you know, do to us in the future? It's very important. Salvation is important, but the rewards is also important. I remember him speak about the precious stones. You cannot have precious stones if you do not serve the Lord Jesus. No precious stones for you. Some people will settle in being saved, and that's it for them. But there will be no precious stones. And remember the drama when the Lord Jesus, when the woman met the Lord there in the drama, and then she returned the crown. In that is in Revelation chapter 4. And for thou art worthy, O Lord. Lord, this crown belongs to you, because thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So she returned the crown. And another thing that would happen to that, when you receive the crown, you also have that, you know, precious stones here, like the ephod, or like the garments of the priest. They have the precious stones, and those precious stones would reflect the light of God, and the glory of the Lord Jesus would reflect in the precious stones. And remember, you will never have precious stones if you do not serve Christ faithfully here on earth. Once you have that precious stones upon you, then you present yourself to the Lord Jesus, and when the Lord Jesus will shine in his glory, with a bright shining glory, the Lord's bright light and his glory will come to you, then will reflect that back. Without it, it will not reflect. There is no reflection if there's no precious stones. That is why our Christian life puts that into, you know, into this race. Each one of us has to run our race and win the prize. And then God will give us precious stones. Remember in I think in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 10 to 14, the works that we do in this life can be found into glory, or, you know, can give the Lord the glory or not give the Lord the glory. If our works will be tested by fire, it might be burned, or it might survive the fire. And that is what it says here, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You see, the gold, silver, precious stones, these things can withstand the fire. But the wood, hay, stubble cannot withstand the fire. They will turn into ashes. So now your work will be dependent upon, you know, what kind of, what sort it is. It said here, if any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. If your work here on earth is just for earthly, then you will have no reward. It will be burned. Example, you work so hard and you neglect the church, you neglect your devotion because you're so focused about your education, so that you will be an astronaut. You can be an astronaut, but you neglect the things of the Lord in your life. Then when you die and the Lord Jesus Christ will come to judge you, then all your work will tantamount to nothing. All your work is just for this world, for your ambition. You work so hard and you work even Sunday because you have your mortgage, you want to finish early, and then you don't do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all of those works may be just wood, hay, or stubble. Whereas if you, even though you have a responsibility for your children, you have a responsibility for your wife or for your family, then you still serve God and bring your family with you to serve God, then you have this gold, silver, or precious stones. If you win someone to the Lord, that even though you are so busy, but you still share the gospel, you have one gold. If there is a discouraged a brother, discouraged sister, you encourage the person to the Lord, you have a silver or precious stones. And those things will never be erased. Those things, you will gain reward. Now, when you have all those, you know, precious stones here in you, in your account, when the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified and his glory will shine, then you will reflect that. Imagine millions upon millions of people lining up there with those precious stones, and the Lord Jesus Christ will emerge, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will be presented to the host of angels and to the host of Christians, to the host of believers, and all of them will receive that light and reflect back that light. There's an even more glory for the Lord. And then there you are standing. There's no reflection of the light. No reflection of the light. When the light comes, you see the beauty, but supposed to be returned back to God. Supposed to be, you know, reflect back to the Lord. But you did not do anything for Christ while you were here. You experienced heaven, but the Lord's glory, you know. And then you will regret, because that is going to be for eternity. And that's why there is that song, "Oh, why I didn't love you from the start. I wonder why I didn't love you from the start." Why? Because people are okay for them just to get to heaven and that's it. They will not make any commitment to the Lord. They will not do anything, the work of God in their lives. As long as they are saved, as long as, you know, they escape hell, those are the people that will not reflect the glory of God. And you can notice them. You can notice them. But those people that are really, you know, giving the Lord the glory, they will shine as the brightness of the stars in heaven. They will shine. Why? Because when the Lord Jesus Christ will shine, they will shine also, because they have the precious stones in them. Proverbs chapter 30 or 11, chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Where is that shine? In the firmament. Shine, then firmament. Forever and ever. So we'll see that. That turneth, Daniel. Yeah, okay. Daniel chapter 12, I think verse 3. And they that be wise, remember the Proverbs 11:30? They that are. Now, in this verse, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Only they. So those particular people who serve the Lord Jesus Christ to change the course of the direction of the people from darkness to light, to the power of Satan, to the power of God, that those people will shine like the as the brightness of the firmament. You see, that is the reason why we serve the Lord. Salvation is just the beginning. It's not the end. Yeah. That is not the last point why we need to survive in this world. Salvation is just us being enrolled by God in the race. And then there is the crown. There is the reward. You have to set your mind and your heart to the reward. Because the rewards, you have something to give back to Christ. When you get there and when you receive the crown, then you have something to offer to the Lord, because the Lord Jesus is the one that needs to receive the crown. And there, and if you do not serve Christ, you have nothing to offer. It is very, very, sad when you come to the Lord and you have nothing to offer. You can never offer anything there except those crowns, because there will be no money there. There will be, you know, no title land there. There will be no other things there that we can offer to the Lord. You cannot offer your certificate from school. No, the Lord will not accept it. You cannot offer, you know, a land title there. You cannot offer your accumulation of gold. The Lord will not accept it. The only thing that God would accept and also to give joy in your soul is the souls of God, souls of men that the Lord give to your life. So we have to work. We have to offer the Lord everything that we can offer, because the Lord Jesus, when He comes, He will put us, you know, in front of Him, and we will give account on everything that we have done. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for reminding us. Lord, I pray, O God, that you will give us this solution, Lord, to solve this situation that we are in. We want to serve you, Lord. At the same time, Lord, we want to worship you. We want to hear, Lord, from your mouth. And please, Lord, help us that we can do both of this, serving and attending to your word. And thank you, Father, that you have given us opportunity every time that we come together, opportunity, Lord, to ponder upon your words. And bless, Lord, your people once again. Thank you, Lord, for the labors that have been done. Thank you, Lord, for the service to your name that your people have given unto you, Lord. And do more, O God. Do more. Because, Lord, we desire to give you back the honor and glory that you deserve. And help us, Lord, in our ministry. Help us in our service, that everything that we do will give glory and honor to your name. And thank you, Lord, for the people in this church. Thank you for the faithful men and women. And please, Lord, give them, O God, more grace. Give them, Lord, more strength. And thank you, Lord, for their kind heart of doing service. But Lord, equip them also with your word, so that, Lord, we can live a life that is useful, and a life that is meaningful. And that, Lord, again, we will rejoice in our service in your name. And thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we have received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's all stand, please, for our final hymn, Follow On. Thank you.